You're listening to the podcast version of Spark TV, an interview series with the world's most inspiring women in business. These are honest business conversations over a glass of wine to help you shortcut your success in business. I'm your host, Danielle Lewis, three times founder, huge wine enthusiast, and always willing to share all of the gory business details to help you grow your business, no matter what that looks like to you. If you want more spark in your business, check out our membership, Spark 365, for daily business growth tips at sparkfoundersprogram.com. And a huge shout out to Spark TV sponsor, IP Australia, for their amazing support of the Spark podcast and women in business. Jolinda, welcome to Spark TV.
Hello, Danielle. Such a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited because we have literally just talked for the last hour and not hit record. And we've never met before. This is like, it's been the most amazing conversation, and I feel like we're just scratching the surface. So I'm glad we took a pause and we hit record so that we can share
everyone else in on our conversation.
I know, so good. Let's just provide everyone with some context, because then I know you and I are just gonna like start going for it. Yes. Let's tell everyone who you are and what you do, just to start things off.
Yes, I'm Jolinda Johnson, and I'm an award-winning life coach, health coach, and menopause coaching specialist, and I am really passionate about helping people, specifically in midlife, to develop their resilience and rise stronger so they can thrive longer. But as Danielle and I were talking earlier, you know, I've recently gotten a download for what's coming in my business. And because I'm so passionate about resilience, and that's my book in the background, Resilience. And because I'm so passionate about helping people to come back to themselves after they've had, you know, inevitable setbacks in life, that I really want to broaden things and not just focus on midlife, but, you know, coaches, business owners, those who are really trying to make an impact in the world and need to take a pause and foster their resilience so they can keep going, keep rising, and keep being those, you know, brilliant change makers that they have envisioned themselves to be. So Jolinda Johnson, burnout, resilience, helping you to rise again and yet again.
Beautiful. It is just gorgeous. And I'm so excited that we're going to have a conversation about that more deeply about resilience, because I feel like for the last 12 years I've been a business owner, it's like been the common theme.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's really interesting because I love also your acknowledgement. So yes, you do a lot of work right now in the midlife, but resilience, I think, can affect any person at any time, or the need for resilience.
Yeah. Well, I have a 9-year-old son, and that's something that I work on with him all the time, because, the sooner we can learn these tools of self-compassion, better boundaries, self-awareness, emotional regulation, as well as supporting our physical body, you know, the sooner we can have these things ingrained, and, you know, kind of as our default settings, the longer we have to really thrive in this one and only lifetime that we have.
You know what I love that you just said? So when I think about resilience, I think about just try again, Danielle, just go, you know, get back up, try again. But I love that you just said the words self-compassion and
absolutely
self-awareness. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I've ever been that kind to myself.
Self-compassion is a huge component of resilience, because you know, especially in by the time we get to midlife, a lot of us, especially if we're high achievers, which I don't get the impression that you're a high achiever at all, Danielle. You're not someone. Thanks. You know, I didn't realize. I mean, I kind of realized that I was a high achiever before I became involved with my current partner, but he points it out all the time. And I think that's one of the things. So self-compassion and self-awareness. Mm. Self-compassion, because we know as well from the research that when you choose to be kind to yourself, when you are mindful of your feelings, acknowledge that your experience is not uniquely yours. In other words, this is not all your fault. Mm. And you choose to speak kindly to yourself in the face of challenges, that it actually helps you to recover much more quickly and be emotionally available for the task at hand, you know, to take that inspired action and keep moving forward and not just get stuck in the freeze response of, I don't know what to do and I can't get out of this, you know. But the self-awareness piece is also key, because so many of us, let's take this, you know, take it out of midlife and just put into, you know, the business. Mm. You know, if you're working for yourself, and I'm guessing many of your listeners do.
Yes.
You know that so many things happen as an entrepreneur that are completely out of your control. And if we are constantly thinking, well, this is all about me, or if we are unaware of the circumstances, and we're, you know, a lot of times what happens when we're in the stress response is we mitigate the circumstances and we put an extreme value on what we have to do to overcome those circumstances. So it's like, the circumstances are insane, but I should be able to handle it. You know, there are all of these things that are out of my control, but I'm not interested in acknowledging that it's all under my control. I just have to do a little more. I just have to push myself a little.
Figure it out.
I just have to figure out, you know, it's like the missing piece. And until I get there, I'm going to deny myself rest. I'm going to deny myself sleep. I'm going to skip meals. I'm going to, withhold comfort. You know, that's another thing that that I noticed about myself recently. Speaking of self-awareness, when I am in the process of achieving a goal, I tend to withhold comfort from myself.
Oh my God, I do this too. I say you. Mm-hmm. I say you don't deserve that yet.
Exactly.
How bad is that?
Yeah. You know, and if you think of, you know, because a lot of, you know, speaking of boundaries, we speak all the time about boundaries that have to do with other people, but we very rarely look at boundaries as they apply to self boundaries, you know, and self boundaries have to do with parenting ourselves, you know, so it's the, when you know you're supposed to go to bed at a certain time and you choose to push past that because you haven't gotten everything done, or because you've pushed yourself so hard during the day, you haven't had any time to have fun. And so your fun is binging in front of the latest show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Another self boundary would be if you tend to, you know, give and give and give, mm-hmm. and to say, to have that self-awareness and to say, wow, I'm actually feeling pretty depleted. Maybe I need to say no so that I can recover some of that energy. Self-boundaries are really uncomfortable for most of us because we're not used to, first, they involve self-awareness. And second, they involve, for a lot of times, giving up things that we enjoy, you know? Yeah. So saying no to alcohol.
Yeah.
Or stopping at that first drink, another self-boundary, you know? And it's like, if you've associated certain activities with fun, mm-hmm. and entertainment in the short term, but they're actually contributing to your anxiety, to your exhaustion, to your depletion in the long term, it can be really hard to say, actually, no, I need to do different. I need to make different decisions.
Yeah.
So yes, but be, you know, no matter what you're experiencing, being kind to yourself and having the courage to fully acknowledge your feelings is a huge step when it comes to moving in the direction of resilience. Yeah.
How did you even get into this? So what, I mean, I just feel like, you know, so you life coach, health coach, menopause coach, like, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You are awarded, you pointed to a book, like this is incredible. How did this come about? Did you have a different career beforehand? Did you study this? Like, where did this come from and how did we get here?
Yes. Well, I did have a different career before this. I was a teacher for 10 years.
Oh, cool. Which
was never my intention either.
I love it.
I graduated from Columbia in New York City in 2004. And I was supposed to either go to law school or become a diplomat and go into the Foreign Service. But before I did either of those things, I wanted to take a little bit of time and give back, so to speak. I took a break and enrolled in, I applied and then was accepted, better said, as a New York City teaching fellow. And they agreed, and at that time, the deal was that the city of New York would give you your master's degree, pay for your master's degree while you taught in high need schools, you know, so schools with students who were at some kind of economic disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, that's a good break.
Yeah, I'm like, this sounds hectic. What happened to teaching, like a gap year? What happened to a gap year in like Bali or something?
Teaching full time at a high need school while also getting your master's degree.
Oh.
But that's
sounds
what
like
I did.
Another high achiever to me.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And also spending one of those one of those summers, because all of my students, I had already studied Spanish in college, but I switched to Arabic halfway through because my specialization was North Africa and the Middle East, hence why everyone thought I was going to go into international law or diplomacy, because I at that point I had studied Spanish, French, and Arabic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but I'm not fluent enough in Spanish, so I spent one of those summers in Guatemala, in the mountains of Guatemala. Wow. While doing all of my coursework online. And that was still like a totally new thing. So I remember yes. But this is the thing, is that a lot of times as high achievers, we don't even realize that we're doing all this stuff.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, right, it's just normal.
Yeah.
It's just normal. And so long story shortish, after that experience, I moved back to Michigan because I was engaged to someone who I had grown up with. And shortly after moving back to Michigan from New York City, I realized, no, this isn't going to work. And I thought, what do I do now? Do I just go to law school? Or maybe I should take the opportunity to live abroad for a year and then go to law school. Or then apply to the Foreign Service, you know, because those were still things that everyone else wanted me to do. Mm. I hadn't really learned how to get in touch with my own soul's calling. I just was still in that space of, this is, you know, a widely accepted path for someone who has my level of intelligence and my education. And, you know, you don't go to a school like Columbia to just do, you know, the average thing. Which is honestly something I had to deal with for, you know, many years, that kind of weight of, wow, I've invested so much in a certain path that now has nothing to do with what I actually want to do. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
huge. Because I feel like that comes up for business owners all the time. You know, I've spent
Absolutely.
years positioning myself as this. I don't want to do it anymore. But like you have this tie to, well, that's how I make money. How will I live? Or, you know, what's everyone going to think about me? Or, you know, like it's really heavy.
Yeah. Or, you know, when other people have heavily invested in you, which is another thing that comes up in business, you know, if you have raised funds or have, you know, VCs or, you know, or have a team that is going to have to change their lives radically as a result of your decision. And a lot of us are not comfortable in that space of release and surrender. And sometimes you have to choose your heart, you know, like sometimes there aren't easy decisions. You're going to have to experience a challenge one way or another, which is the challenge that is going to be, I think for me, it's which is the challenge that is going to ultimately bring me closer to my true path. Because if I have to experience challenges as a result of making something that making decisions that are true to myself and my soul's calling, that are made from a place of integrity and authenticity, then even if I have to experience struggle in the meantime, ultimately I'm going to be at peace. But if I have to deal with the other, you know, other type of hard, which is pushing to make myself fit in to something that makes sense but doesn't feel right, that to me is the worst choice for me personally, because that's when we also see a lot of health challenges, because the body knows. The body knows the direction. And so the more time we spend trying to, you know, go against what our body knows to be true, a lot of times the more we suffer in real ways.
How do we figure this out? How do we ask ourselves, this is an interesting thing that came up for us a little bit earlier, how do we ask ourselves the right questions to get to what do I actually want? Like, what is right for me? You know, when it is, when you are kind of like in this moment of, because I feel like sometimes we don't even know we're in this. We're just, like you said, we're just pushing. This is the path. And just feeling something is wrong, and it's coming out through physical symptoms, mental symptoms. You know, is there something that we can do to try and connect with what our true calling is, what our soul wants, what is right for us?
Well, I mean, I think the first step is always creating the space for that exploration. And in order to create the space for the exploration, we have to be regulated. And most of us, you know, the first step when we think we might need change or might need to make a change is to check in with our bodies and regulate. So many of us are just in the stress response. We're so far away from baseline. We don't even remember what it feels like, because we're you know, on high alert, answering this, that, you know, I'm available for you. I can take care of that. I haven't slept, but who cares? You know,
like I've not worked out in 11 years, you know, like I haven't eaten a vegetable in days.
You know, and so the first thing is to create that space where you can, you know, really feel where you are holding tension, connect with your breath. And when you are in that space of, okay, I'm, you know, there are no distractions here, I'm feeling relaxed, and then you can begin asking yourself those deeper questions. Because if not, the answer is going to come from, as we talked about earlier, more than likely is going to come from ego, which only wants safety. And the soul doesn't care about safety. The soul cares about expansion and truth. And a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, 100% of the time, when you're stressed out, you don't care about expansion because that's threatening. You know, exactly. And the ego will go out of its way to attack expansion. How many of us as business owners who have wanted to move to the next level have experienced this? You know, I have a published book, but all of a sudden I can be a bad writer. I can be an idiot. I can be someone who, you know, it's like writes things that nobody wants to read, doesn't care about, whatever. Because anytime you create something, whether it's a piece of writing, whether it's an Instagram reel, whatever it is, you invite visibility, you invite criticism, you invite other people's opinions that you might not want to hear. And when you are stressed out, that's the last thing you want. You want comfort. You want validation. And for a lot of us, that means staying where we are. So going back to your question, once you're regulated, you can ask yourself things like, how do I want to be remembered? You know, that's a really good one for reconnecting with your big why and your legacy, because, you know, being clear on your values, I think that's also key. And we know that that contributes to resilience is when we are clear on our values and we can stay connected to those values, the expression of those values is allowed to change.
Yeah. You know?
So maybe the business that you've created is no longer serving you, but that doesn't mean that the next project, or even, you know, I'll put this on the table, because some of us, we don't want to be entrepreneurs anymore. Some of us actually want to work for someone else again, you know, and just because you're choosing that path doesn't mean that you can no longer express your values. Because as long as you're expressing your values and exploring your strengths, it's allowed to take different forms. And sometimes when we stay so stuck to, you know, this is how it has to be, we actually keep ourselves from really being the fullest expression of who we want to be. So how do I want to be remembered? What are my values? What would I do if I knew the best possible outcome was guaranteed? What would I do if I knew everyone was going to be happy about this decision and support me? You know, because a lot of times we get caught up in what other people are going to think. You know, so what would you do if
on the regular? Yes,
you know. What would you do if other people's opinions didn't matter? Because at the end of the day, your soul also doesn't care what other people think. Mm. And I think that that's one of the things that's been really challenging for me, is kind of separating myself, putting a distance between what I know to be true and what other people, you know. It's like I can take the feedback on board. But feedback, especially negative feedback, has to be kind of fertilizer for growth. It can't be shit that you get stuck in.
Okay, that's going down in history as the best metaphor I've ever heard. Oh my God, I love that so much. It's so true, though. It's, you know, we often take on feedback like it's gospel, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the people we're taking the feedback from in many cases have never walked in our shoes, haven't achieved what it is that we want to achieve, or even done anything that we might be inspired by. The people that we take criticism or advice from sometimes is highly questionable.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, this is a very personal example, but in 2020, I created a course all about like the six major hormones that get derailed when we are experiencing burnout and how to, you know, support those hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So insulin, cortisol, those are the foundational ones. Then we have progesterone, estrogen, thyroid, and testosterone. And 12 people took the course, you know, the pilot, and which at this point I'm, you know, I was like, wow, that's amazing that 12 people wanted to do that. At the time I was like, but 100 people didn't, you know.
of course, overachiever. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of it, I got all of these, you know, beautiful feedback. This has helped so much. So grateful. Da, da, da. I had one person say, I enjoyed the course, but I could have just Googled it.
Wow.
And because of that one comment, the one out of a total of 12, I was like, well, I'm not offering this again.
No. Did you have a strong, harsh conversation with yourself and tell yourself that you were being silly and actually end up keeping on going? No.
I did not.
Oh my gosh. Why do we do this?
Yeah. That's why I say it's a very personal example where I was just like, and then I you know, I kind of, it's not that I stopped entirely, obviously not, but with that particular course, it was like, well, and then I just kind of, I was like, well, fine. That was that.
And isn't it crazy? Another thing we were talking about before we hit record, is what we make it mean about ourselves.
Yes.
You know, and I was saying to you, and you mentioned earlier the freeze response, and you know, and I again, let's just personal share all over this podcast today. You know, when I'm having those moments where, you know, you get bad feedback or you get even good feedback that you take as criticism sometimes, and you do spiral into that, oh, well, clearly I have no idea how to run a business. Clearly I'm a crap person. Clearly I'm a failure. Clearly, 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 clearly. I don't, and I personally fall into the I don't know what to do trap. And, you know, and again, I showed you, I have a to-do list in front of me that's a mile long, detailed, like easy, actionable things. And I go, I just freeze into, I don't know what to do next. Even though I have exactly what to do next written down on a piece of paper in front of me, I completely freeze and I waste so much time spiraling in this, clearly I am a crap business owner and I should quit.
Yes. So when you find yourself spiraling, you know, one of the things that can really help is, first of all, this looks silly, but it actually works. If you put your hand on your forehead and then on the back of your head and close your eyes and take, you know, a few deep breaths, this helps your body to get out of the freeze response. So on a physiological level, you're telling your body that you can, it can relax.
Well, I like that. Yes.
It looks really silly, but it's telling your body you are not you are not under actual threat, because that's what's happening. Ooh. You know, it's like we take the feedback and it triggers us and our body thinks, oh,
run.
Danger.
Yeah.
You know, something's happening here that I can't handle.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Wow.
And so this actually helps to, then, you know, after, you know, and the deep breathing also helps to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Then we can look at, okay, I'm telling myself I'm, you know, a crap business woman, or I'm an idiot, or I'm worthless, which is like, you know, the things sometimes I tell myself you wouldn't believe.
I would, because I probably tell my mind to myself.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Let's look at some evidence here that disputes that.
Yes.
You know, so this is where keeping your testimonials on hand, for example, can be really helpful.
It's yes, like, I love that.
This person whose life I changed doesn't think that about me. So I guess that can't be true. You know, I'm a horrible writer. I guess that's why I have an article published here. Or I guess that's why, you know, I have a book behind me there. Mm-hmm. One of the things that comes up for me, because I've been in eating disorder recovery for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And so sometimes I still get the people aren't you know, like on Instagram. Well, people aren't responding to you because you're fat.
Oh my God.
Which is totally Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It's like, that has nothing to do with anything. Yes. But that's another one. It's like, okay, even if I were a bigger size, that literally has nothing to do with how you can attract people.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we are, and then it's like, okay, so I've proven that these things aren't actually true. So what am I going to do next? Let me look at the smallest, least threatening thing on that to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I do that thing, you know, I can set a timer for 10 minutes. And just, you know, in that 10-minute span, I'm going to make a move towards the smallest, least threatening thing. And when I do that, I'm going to celebrate myself. I'm going to, you know, put on my favorite song. I'm going to dance. I'm going to, you know, do something that feels really nice. I'm like, okay, yes. And then I'm going to return and, you know, break it down into the next thing. And then just kind of get into that flow. And then when it feels like it's too much, I'm going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and allow myself to not conquer the world all in one day.
Yeah. I know. So, and that is the trap sometimes as well, isn't it? Not only are we a little bit awful to ourselves and getting into these negative spirals, but we try and achieve the vision on day one.
Yeah.
We don't break it down into the 10 minute tasks that it, the, mm-hmm. the 1 million times 10 minute tasks it's going to take to achieve said vision.
Yeah. You know, and for me, it's really, you know, I was a single mom running my own business for, you know, almost 7 years before I met my current partner. And my current partner is, for anyone who knows about astrology, I'm a Virgo, Capricorn rising, which tells you a lot of what you need to know. And he's a Scorpio. So I'm not very good at relaxing when I haven't accomplished everything that I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And before meeting him, because he's the one who says, time to power down, time to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know? And before meeting him, I was definitely the, you know, solo business owner, single mom who was like, well, my son's in bed. It's 10 p.m. What more do I need to get done?
Yeah.
You know, I would take clients after 10 p.m. I would do interviews after 10 p.m.
Wow.
I wouldn't allow myself. And so you asked me, taking it back to the beginning, how did you get into this? Because I myself burnt out twice.
Mm.
And I didn't know. And I didn't know that I was actually burning out at the time.
Yeah.
So my last burnout was several years ago. My first burnout was 2012. And my second one was right around the pandemic, 2020. And I didn't realize really what was happening the first time at all.
Mm.
The second time, I didn't get to stage four burnout because at that point I knew how to dial things back, but it still was not a pleasant experience, you know? And I think that's the thing that we have to recognize is that, you know, our brains, our minds are very good at ignoring our body signals, at saying, well, yeah, I know you're tired, but we haven't finished yet.
Yeah.
You know, or yeah, I know you're hungry, but have another cup of coffee. Yeah, I know you have to pee, but
not until I finish this task.
Exactly. Like, how many of us are guilty of doing that?
Yes.
And so it's like your body is like, it just becomes this for a lot of us. And my partner is 100% the opposite. But for a lot of us, our bodies become these inconvenient things. And especially as women, you know, we're taught from a very early age that our bodies are not to be trusted. They're to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
They're to be fixed, but they're not to be trusted. And so we get really good at overriding and ignoring our body signals. And that's why creating that space that I referred to, you know, that intentional space where you can reconnect, where you can breathe, where you can check in. Just like, you know, with team building, the regular check-ins are really important. Well, if you think of your body and your mind as a team, like you need to have regular check-ins with the two of them. Because a lot of times they're on different, you know, it's like, I want to go this way, I want to go that way. But the body always wins, because whatever success we want to experience, whatever impact we want to have, we have to take our bodies with us. And so they really are worthy of our kindness and our attention and of course our time.
And I love it as well, because it's taken me a very long time to realize this, but gut feeling, like that intuition, has been, over the course of the last 12 years that I've been in business, something that I have ignored regularly and always been right.
Yes.
But even so, we were chatting, I'm so behind, but have just done the human design thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
figured out that that is how I make decisions, based on gut feeling. And so I've learned how to ask myself questions in a way that I can quickly understand which way my gut's going. But if your body is in a state of dysregulation, or if you are in the habit of ignoring those things, it is very difficult to tap into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually know that, you know, because there's the mind gut connection, tons of research on this. But your gut health affects your intuition.
Yeah.
You know, so, and your gut health affects your hormone health, which also affects your resilience to stress. So, you know, gut health has become a kind of a buzz, not a, yes. a buzz phrase. the microbiome and, you know, fermented foods and all of this stuff, probiotics, but it actually matters. And one of the first things that goes offline when we're in a state of chronic stress is digestive health.
Yeah.
Gut health and reproductive health. When we're in chronic stress and we haven't had time to recover, both of those things suffer, because your body is pushing all of its resources into the production of stress hormones. And it's, you know, if we look at the acute stress response, when you actually need to run away from a lion, you know, because I know so many of us have been in that situation
daily.
But when we actually do have an imminent threat, what happens? All of the blood, you know, gets pushed into your extremities, your pupils dilate so you can take in more, you know, information. Your lungs, you know, are able to take in more oxygen. Those are all great things. But what also happens is your blood sugar goes up, you know, so your digestion stops. Your body knows it's not a great time for having sex or making babies. So, you know, it's like that's deprioritized. And so in the long run, that's why we see diabetes, you know, insulin resistance that eventually leads to diabetes. We see heart disease, because you know you've got that high blood pressure that stays consistently high as opposed to coming back down. We see subfertility, infertility. We see autoimmune disease, because you know your immune system eventually, as a result of the inflammation, your body starts attacking itself. And that's that. That was the result of my first burnout, was the diagnosis of my autoimmune disease.
Wow. Yeah.
But so many people are in that same position. You know, you might not get a diagnosis of burnout. You might get a diagnosis of Hashimoto's, you know, which is the most common cause of hypothyroidism amongst women in the Western world. These are all things that are either caused or exacerbated by stress, which is why it's so important to not prove our worth by how much we can handle. But really, you know, knowing that our worth is inviolable, and knowing that it's okay to have limits, and that by setting those limits in the long run, we're actually going to have more of the impact that as high achievers, we really crave, you know.
And because I feel like it's a vicious cycle as well. So if we are holding ourselves to a standard of worth based on specific outcomes, getting ourselves into this stress response, burning out, having physical ailments, illnesses, symptoms that we're pushing through, creating more stress in the body, you know, and then not being even able to achieve, you know, based on the fact that we can't push anymore, but we're still pushing, and then being more stressed. It's just never ending. We've got to break that cycle.
Yeah, which is why, you know, surrender is such a key component. And, you know, most of my high achieving clients really hate that word.
Yes.
but it really is about recognizing what is in your control, what is beyond your control, and leaning into something greater than yourself. You know, we know that people who are the most resilient also recognize that there is something greater than themselves at play. For a lot of us, that's spirituality. For some of us, it just means community. You know, it means knowing that you actually do not have to handle everything at all times. And it's just recently that I've realized how it's not, you know, I think I've known for a long time that asking for help feels vulnerable, but receiving help also feels vulnerable. So also notice those times when someone is saying, I can do that. And you're like, no, I've got it. Or let me help you. And you're like, not necessary. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because those are the moments when you really have an opportunity to be held and to experience what it's like to not be the only one who can do absolutely everything.
It's so funny. It's just reminded me, I had this experience. I once had a team member who would like, you know, consistently, you know, what can I do? Can I do that? And no. Got to the stage where she ended up getting another job because she's like, I have nothing to do here. And I'm like, I'm thinking she has so much work. I can't let go of my stuff because I don't want to overload her. And she ended up leaving because she's like, oh, there's not really much to do. This isn't really a full-time job. And I was like, I was holding on to all of this work and all of this stress. And she was saying, crying out, give me jobs to do. And I was holding on and then ended up losing her. I was like, what did I just do? It was, but it took like losing her for me to realize that I was not accepting help.
And I think that a lot of us associate accepting help with some kind of weakness or failing or, you know, but also it's that ceding of control.
Yes.
Because as long as I have it on my plate, I know that it's going to, you know, come out a certain way. And for a lot of us, we think, as long as I'm in control of it, then it's going to be even better.
It'll be the best.
which is not always true. If anyone else listening to this is a Virgo, they're like, actually, that is true.
Well, and for me, I go, I am holding on to that because I think I can do it the best. And then it actually sometimes doesn't even get done because I don't have the time to do everything. I can't physically do everything that I want to do. If I want to, you know, get a reel out every day, I might not be the best person to do that because I don't have time. So I need to let go and let somebody help so I can actually level up.
Yes, exactly. And that is vulnerable.
It really
and
is.
And that takes courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have had people following me on Instagram for years. And some of them have said, you know, I am in a really difficult position right now. And I'm asking anyone who I think might care if you can send me, you know, even if it's just $50, it would make a difference. Send that to my PayPal or send that to my Venmo. And when I've been in the position to do so, I always give. But when I have been in positions where I'm really struggling and my go-to is not, I know you really care about me and you've probably been in this position as well, but I could use some help right now. It's don't tell anyone. Just take care of it yourself.
Keep running. Yeah.
You know, whatever you have to do to just like keep things moving, even if it means hurting yourself, then that's always a better option. I mean, when I say it out loud, obviously that's not what I want for myself.
Yes.
But when you look at the like subconscious programming, that's 100% what's happening.
Oh, absolutely. You don't, because it's almost like saying the words out loud, asking for help is admitting defeat.
You know,
it's acknowledging
I
couldn't do it. I am a failure. You know, it's just, I know because I've been there before as well. And I've been the same. I'm like, there is no way I can let anybody know, especially in this world of Instagram. And even so, my other business, Scrunch, is venture backed. So we have shareholders, we have a board, blah, blah, blah. I've always been like, I cannot tell anybody that I am even having a moment of struggle, doubt, wanting to quit, whatever it might be in the time, because that would be like admission of I'm not good enough for this job. I can't do it. I'm a failure. And all of you that believed in me, I've clearly let you down.
Well, because that would make you human.
Oh, no, I'm not human.
You know, that's the thing. It's like all of the things that you mentioned are just part of the human experience. They're part of the business experience. And yet we think that somehow we're not part of that, which is why when we go back to self-compassion, common humanity, you know, there are three pillars: mindfulness, common humanity, and kind words. And for me, common humanity is the one that is most, that really changes things, that really changes my perspective. Because we tend to, as we've said earlier, you know, it's all about me and how I've, you know, my mistakes, instead of I'm not the only business owner who's been in this position. I'm not the only person who has made mistakes with their finances. I'm not the only person who has had a failed launch. I'm not the only person who's struggling right now. And, you know, we know that when we can create that sense of connection with the greater human experience, it creates that space that we need to let ourselves off the hook and take action that's actually going to come from a place of kindness and love, as opposed to self-criticism and shame.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens when we feel ashamed. We don't share. We isolate.
Yeah.
We, you know, tend to become not very nice people to be around either. And this is something that, going back to the people who have asked me for money, I've always thought, absolutely. You know, if I have it, it's like, sure.
Yeah.
I've never thought, are you kidding me? What a loser. You know?
Exactly. Like everything that you assume someone would say about you, you've never thought about anybody that's been in that position.
No, it's like, you know, if anything, it's like, oh my goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, of course I'll help.
Yeah.
And we also know by, you know, can you tell I do a lot of research? We also know by research that most people want to help.
Yeah.
That most people actually want to be of service. That most people actually feel better after they have done something that they know is going to make a difference in someone else's life. And so, but how often do we, in small and big ways, rob people of that opportunity just so that we can feel like we have it all together and we're, you know, superhuman and we have no flaws? Yeah, things to think about, things to consider, because the more that I learn about resilience and the things that really contribute to resilience long term, the more I realize that believing that everything is under your control, putting your health at danger, striving for a level of, you know, basically a level of perfection that does not exist, holding yourself to those impossible standards. I mean, that these are all resilience killers.
Yeah.
And what do we all want as business owners? We want to, we want impact. We want to be of service. We want to do something that matters. And that starts with the values, the self-awareness, the commitment to our health and well-being, and the willingness to be authentic and to create those genuine connections with other people, build community, all things that the stress response robs us of, all things that burnout definitely robs us of. And so that's why I'm so passionate about helping people to not be in that space and really come back to their true selves.
Jolinda, you are absolutely incredible. I feel like we could talk all night if anyone let us. So I feel,
and there's like, no wine involved in this conversation.
I know. Could you imagine? Oh my gosh, we would really never shut up.
Only water, I promise.
same. I'm on the waters today. I'm being good. But I feel like that is a beautiful place to leave it. I always love to leave our gorgeous Spark community with one last piece of advice. So I'll task you with that as well. Reflecting on your time in business, what would be one piece of advice that you might give to another woman on her journey to help her on her way?
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to, you know, reestablishing that mind-body connection. What I always say is, if it is trying to come through you, create the space for it to be born. And what I mean by that is, so many times we get these downloads, we get these like intuitive hits, but for whatever reason, they don't fit into what we had in mind. They don't fall into the plan. And we're like, nope. But I truly believe that if you are receiving information, even when it doesn't fit into what you thought, it's meant to be shared. And so what do you need to do to develop that unshakable trust in yourself so that you can be that open channel and allow your brilliance to really shine and allow what needs to be shared in this world at this particular time to be fully in the light?
Absolutely incredible. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your wisdom so honestly and openly with us. You are incredible.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to speak with you, Danielle, and I hope that what I've shared is helpful. And oh, for anyone who feels like, wow, I really am, like, I think I am kind of stressed, I have a 5-minute stress relief routine on my website that's absolutely free that you can do even at your desk.
Awesome.
You know, doesn't require any changing, no yoga mat. You can do that at your desk chair when you feel like, yeah, okay, this is a lot right now, and I'm staring at the to-do list and I'm in the freeze response, or I'm really activated. You know, how do you get yourself out of that? You can, you know, try that 5-minute routine and it will make a difference.
I will absolutely make sure that I link to that in all of the places where this will be live on the podcast platforms and YouTube and what have you, because I know I'm even taking away this one myself.
Yes.
I need the 5 minutes. I need all of the minutes of reduced stress, please. That's incredible. I'll make sure that that's linked up. You are the best.
Thanks, Danielle. Really, I loved every minute.
That wraps another episode of Spark TV. Thank you so much for listening. I hope there was something in there that you needed today to help you on your business journey. We would absolutely love it if you subscribed and leave a review. This helps the Spark podcast find its way to other amazing women in business. If you want to hang out with us even more, join Spark 365 and you'll have me show up in your inbox every damn day with a business growth tip. Check it out at sparkfoundersprogram.com. Shout out to Spark TV sponsor IP Australia for their amazing support of the Spark podcast and women in business. And if no one tells you today, you've got this.